The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to CIO Talk Radio with your host, Sunjo Gall. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers. Here's Sunjo Gall.
Good morning and welcome to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Today's topic is generic versus branded IT. Our guests for today's show are Charles Bremer, who's the Vice President of Information Technology with Emerin Corporation. Good morning, Charles.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
Very good. We have William Bryan, Chief Information Officer from the state of Missouri. Good morning, Bill.
Good morning. Please call me Bill.
You should call Bill or William?
Bill.
Bill, awesome. Now, how's life treating you?
Doing very well. Love this nice, cool weather in September in Missouri. It's great.
Great. Now, we also have Doug Ross, who's the Vice President and CTO with Western and Southern Financial Group. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning.
So where are you, sir?
Cincinnati, Ohio, and nice and cool here, so I'm glad we've licked the problem of global warming.
Great. Now, the topic today, generic versus branded IT. When we were building this topic, people started comparing to a generic versus a branded drug, which is not truly the case here. What we are trying to accomplish is to see if organizations who are building IT solutions, are they doing it particularly to that given business environment, or is it something that their buddy did in their own company and they're trying to follow suit to just get some IT done versus specifically for that business? With that being said, question to start with you, Charles, is the use of generic over branded IT, is that because of a limitation with the people that we have in the organization in IT and or in business, the process maturity that may be lacking, and or there would be the technology that we ended up adopting or we were inheriting from our legacy systems?
Sasha, I'd say it's none of the three, really. I think that the choice of the use of generic over branded is really looking at what you're trying to accomplish. There are pieces of the business where a generic solution works fine, and there's no reason not to take advantage of that generic solution where you're looking to meet specific needs of the company or get a competitive advantage. Then you want to focus on a more branded IT result.
So you're saying that there are places or pockets within IT and or where IT has to be used where you could just use a vanilla out-of-the-box application provided and or a solution provided by anyone outside and just use it just for the sake of using it, and we cannot find an ounce of competitive advantage which we could have derived if we had created a custom solution?
90% way I would agree with you, yes. You'll never get the business not to want to tweak things a little bit, but there's no reason to reinvent a word processing application. There's some good ones out there on the market.
Okay, now what percentage of a real IT environment do you think requires some tweaking? Bill, let's go with you.
In state government, you know, we have 14 different agencies that all have different missions, and it's a little different than a business environment where you're selling a specific product or you're in a specific market or niche. We've got a lot of different markets, and we have very high percentage of branded IT, and frankly, I wish we had a greater opportunity to have more generic IT in place to standardize our platforms a little more and do business in a more unified way that's similar from agency to agency. And right now we're very diverse. So it's a very high percentage, probably higher than the 90% that Chuck gave for us.
So interestingly, Bill, you mentioned that you wanted to move towards a generic, and in your definition, generic could have brought standardization. Is truly that is the case? Because if you are trying to solve a specific problem and you want to standardize, is standardization not possible in a branded approach?
It's not that it's not possible, it's just that it's very difficult. We have unified our IT approach in the state of Missouri over the last 3 years, and so we've come from an environment that we inherited where we had 14 separate IT shops all doing business a certain way, that when we have an opportunity to standardize, it's probably going to be from a generic in a generic sense, not in a branded sense, because we've got essentially 14 different branded IT applications and different agencies.
Now, Doug, what's your experience with respect to the organizations that you worked and the one which you're working currently?
I would say addressing your original question, I would say in many cases it's a limitation of imagination, and I appreciate, you know, Bill has a little bit different task ahead of him and a daunting one, which is probably really revolves around operational excellence, so I can understand his opinion. I'm looking at it a little bit differently because in our world of financial services, you know, I always come back to the anecdote a dozen years ago. A couple kids were sitting in a dorm room at Stanford. They dreamed up a better way to perform web searches, and the result was a transformative company, building a $100 billion market cap out of whole cloth. And their vision was make information available at people's fingertips, and I think nothing truly prevents us from incubating very innovative ideas like that that are IT-driven, no matter the business function.
So would you say the motivation, while you said, the imagination, but at the same time there should be enough motivation for people to take that, go that extra mile versus saying, this works, so why just go that extra mile? So with that being said, Charles, would you see that IT already so overburdened with different things that they have to do every day differently? Something is dying because of which that motivation level to go that extra mile is not there as much?
I think it depends upon the where you are in your business cycle in some cases. In the economy we have today where a lot of the resources are being limited, it's sometimes tough to have those resources available to go the extra mile. But I think you really just need to focus on in the areas that give you the opportunity for innovation and not spend as any more time than absolutely necessary on the blocking and tackling of the existing environment. Otherwise you won't have any innovation, and you won't have people thinking out of the box on how they can improve things.
So your view is similar to what we say is that manage to someone's strengths. So basically you're saying manage to environment strengths or work on applications which show the maximum ROI. Of course, you'll tackle them first, but then, you know, we'll keep working on those so that we get maximum out of those, and if there's a smaller incremental value that you can get from tweaking another one, then might as well keep it on the back burner.
Yes.
Great. Now, with the fact that we have to work in such an environment, especially in this economy, risk aversion is the name of the game for many organizations at a business level. But at the same time, the predictability is also lost because we did not ever expect that something like this is going to happen. So would you say that risk aversion and unpredictability, should that be in a negative way influence what we are doing with IT, Bill?
No, I don't think so. In my business, elections matter. And I worked for the governor, Jay Nixon, of the state of Missouri, and he was elected to bring change to the people of Missouri. And we can't do that by being risk-averse. We have to embrace change throughout state government and particularly in IT. We have an old way of doing things, and that's very diverse, and we need to make change. Part of that's going to be generic where we can and have some savings and improve our business practices. By going with a generic product that has some improved business practices over what the state's been using for 20 or 50 years, we can make substantial progress by doing that. In some areas, of course, it is going to be something that's branded that is very specific to what an agency does, and there's not a generic solution for it. You know, we have to be flexible and take risks, but just realize that the risk sometimes is in the generic and sometimes it's in the branded. And the risk in the branded IT for us is that we've developed applications that have worked well for the state, and the people that have developed them and managed them over the last 20 or 30 years are at the end of their careers now. And when they leave state government for their well-earned retirement, the kids that are coming out of school now don't know how to handle those applications. that's a risk that I'm averse to. And that requires us to change, and in doing so, we're going to look at, instead of developing things in-house, because I don't have the resources in-house to do it, I've either got to find a consultant to help me, or I've got to find a custom off-the-shelf solution that will meet my needs.
So, Doug, in your view, would you rather be risk-averse and react to the issues that come and then deal with them with the mindset that, you know, that's going to get you the best results, or would you rather say, let me keep looking at the blueprint every week and see where I could make tweaks so that I don't end up reaching those situations where you'll have to react to, especially the negative ones?
Yeah, well, we're actually in a little bit different place, and I think a lot of companies are. There's been a huge flight to quality in the financial services world. We have among the highest ratings in the industry. And so we've actually increased business, moved up 40 spots in the Fortune 500 last year, and really our core businesses are doing well. So we're in a little bit different spot, and we're trying to use this opportunity to grow. And you could probably tell I'm pretty fired up by the opportunity of IT to partner with the business. And you know, we tend to, in our shop, we try to bring the business proactively ideas from outside and inside the industry to ensure we're not missing big opportunities. And I think, you know, both Charles and Bill have touched on this, is, you know, you do have to walk in the user's shoes and understand their challenges and map those to solutions that will scale and that are flexible and that are cost-effective. And sometimes, you know, truly those are generic. I think, you know, oftentimes there's a hybrid, and you know, we haven't touched on the fact of open standards and open, you know, open source and new capabilities like that will enable rapid prototyping of new services and new applications.
Charles, question for you: if the going gets tough, the tough should get going. Does it really work in IT?
I think it does. I think you have to remember your mandate is to be a value-added partner to the business, and you have to figure out ways to manage your resources in a way to continue to honor that mandate. So you have to be innovative in your business process as well as bringing innovation to the business. And I think Doug makes a great point. You have to look at these things as opportunities, not as a loggerhead to deal with, and figure out a way to reallocate your resources, if you would, so that you can continue to bring value to the company.
No, well, in your answer just now, the resource planning takes a very high amount of, I would say, priority and or the time in which you would end up spending your time as an IT leader. I mean, it looks like it. But then at the same time, if you were to always look at resource in an organization and try to say that because of lack or surplus of resources, I can do less or more, then that would be, you would say, undermining the value that IT could have brought, because IT in a way is always expected to do more with less. And that's where we can rise and shine as a department.
But it's a business resource, not an IT resource. And I think you need to be an active business partner with the operating part of your business so that resources get allocated appropriately.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back after these messages and discuss about this whole resource planning and the impact it has on generic or branded IT that you are able to develop for the organization for it to maximize its value. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Up-to-date business and financial news. Call now and get the financial information you need. 866-472-5790. 866-472-5790.
The experts are here.
Voice America Business Network.
The
looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Hello, this is Red Hat. The vast majority of cloud computing solutions being built today are using open source technologies. In fact, industry analysts tell us that 80% of early clouds are using open source as the key infrastructure. Most of these are being built by Red Hat customers. The benefit for end customers in the entire industry is a new level of openness and interoperability that only open source enables. We at Red Hat, along with our customers in the open source community, are proud to be leading the charge to this new model of computing.
There are two fundamentals required for business success today. The first is a robust strategy, one that's in sync with the marketplace and has a focus on delivering value. The second business fundamental is talent. The single biggest factor in the sustained health of a company is having the right people in the right roles, doing the right things. Join Michael Couch, the president of Michael Couch & Associates, each week as he explores elements of these two fundamentals on The Voice of Business Growth, Mondays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So we are talking about the resource planning that we do within IT, and basically we are, to some extent, looking up to business to tell us whether they are okay to award certain resources to us for us to do our job well. But is this the right approach? Could you not just go and yank the chain of executive management and say, if you want to grow, even in these tough times, you've got to pony up some cash and let's show you the difference. Isn't that how it works up there, Doug?
Well, I think that there, you know, certainly there are commonalities no matter the shop. You've got regulatory audit, security concerns, and those are the kinds of things that all of us probably find common ground on. You know, there's also a critical operational component that we worry about, and you know, but the interesting thing is we have Moore's Law, and we have other, you know, network effects where the costs in many cases continue to get driven down for, say, IT plumbing. And so, you know, you look at software as a service, platform as a service, cloud computing. These things, you know, they may not be ready for large enterprise yet, but in the future you could envision 5 years, 10 years down the road, well, could they help drive costs down to the point where we can spend without growing, without having to do extra investment, can we provide additional capabilities, additional innovation to the business?
Charles? Chuck?
Yeah, I think sometimes the way you phrased the question with regard to just going and asking for dollars, I think in certain areas from an infrastructure perspective, you are doing that. But when you're looking at true innovation from a business value perspective and looking at helping the business reach that next level of performance, you're really going in on a partnership basis. And that to be effective, at least in our organization, the best way to go and ask for those dollars is hand-in-hand with the business line that's going to be getting the value from what you're proposing to do.
So when was the last time, would you say, an IT leader would be called upon by the board and or the executive management and say, okay, here is another extra cash, show me some magic, versus us going every time and trying to make a case and there's a fight up there to get the next set of dollars?
I'm still waiting for the time that somebody comes and asks, tells me they've got some extra dollars to give me.
And so tell me this, does that not happen though in other departments where the CEO would say, let's invest a little bit in marketing, let's invest a little bit in XYZ because they see that's going to bring some top line growth. So are we still fighting that mindset that IT is more for the bottom line savings versus top line growth, Bill?
Yes, we are. I mean, IT is a cost for the state, and there's a challenge to show how we can be a strategic partner with the agency directors. And I've invested some time developing relationships with the governor's cabinet members to become a better partner. That instead of just a cost center for them, we can show how we help them achieve their mission to serve Missouri citizens better. But yeah, I'm like Chuck. I'm still waiting for the General Assembly to say, here's $1 million. Show us what you can do. You know, show us your stuff. So it doesn't work that way in government. And for good reason. I mean, we have a responsibility to 5.4 million Missourians to spend their tax dollars wisely, and the House of Representatives wants to start the budget and oversee that. The governor has his 2 cents worth on it. The Senate is interested in it. And it's a lengthy, cumbersome process before I get that money, and I have to do a lot of persuasion and negotiation to get to that point.
So if you did not have any play money, if you will, would you ever be able to go to that path where we at least attempt to build a branded IT? Bill?
Yes, I can. And that is by when the funds that I do have appropriated, when I can find a way to be more cost-effective and save some money that's been appropriated for one purpose, and I can try something new that's consistent with that appropriation and with what the money the General Assembly authorized me to spend, then I can make progress. And so that's the magic here, is for me to find the money to demonstrate a future success, and then we can build on that and get authorized to spend more money in a successful direction.
So, Doug, in your company, as you mentioned, that things are going very well. Are you able to get some play money separate from the standard operational budget, if you will?
No. That would be no. In fact, if someone called me in and actually said, hey, here's an extra bucket of money, I would probably paint the carpet with an X to mark the date and time that occurred. No, we tend to have a flat, we have a flat budget year over year. I've had essentially a flat budget despite, significant growth over, say, the last 6-7 years. So we're expected to keep driving costs out. But I agree entirely with Bill in that nothing really prevents us from incubating ideas that, irregardless of the business function, because hopefully you're getting operational excellence and you're putting vendors in competition with one another to be able to help drive OPEX down. And if you can do essentially prototypes and experiments that help demonstrate an ROI, then the business, frequently you can help sell the business on that idea, on an innovative idea, and it doesn't have to be, hey, I need $1 million to operationalize this. You can do prototypes, and I would say that's probably a best practice if you read, say, Ram Charan and other folks like that. Try to prototype, try to sell it, and go from there.
So, Chuck, would you go and budget for a branded IT or a generic IT, and would you get eventually a generic IT budget for you to kind of deal with?
I would budget for a little bit of both, depending upon the need of the company and what part of it you're talking about. And I would also agree with Bill and Doug. I think you do some incubation just based on what you can drive out of your other expenses. I think the one risk that we have within IT is to make sure that as we're doing that, we're doing it with a view of how does this bring value to the business. At least in our environment, there's nothing that turns funding off quicker than IT for IT's sake. It's got to be IT for business value, and I think that's just something we have to build into our method of operations.
Now, if we were to go out and try to get money and or try to get some acceptance of a proposal, do we need to stand outside of IT while we are IT leaders and be a consultant, as a business consultant that they would get from outside once in a while? the executive management, or would we have to go and negotiate? What would be a better tactics for us to be able to get what we want in order for us to eventually lead us to a branded IT? Chuck?
Yeah, I'll start off on that. I think this may be semantics, but I wouldn't choose either a negotiator or a consultant. I'd use partner. I really think that in today's business environment, the IT top leadership has to spend as much time in the business and understanding the business and being part of the business as possible. We have excellent people that can do the technology pieces of the business. We need to understand the business part of the business. And if we do that appropriately, we're jointly looking at how we can bring technology to bear to the business. And so we're not competing for our funds against the business. We're competing for funds with the business.
Now, Bill, the question is here. Charles said that he would rather be a partner versus a negotiator or a consultant. In your view, are you truly viewed, or IT is truly viewed as a partner, or they're still viewed as someone who's delivering a service, so in case they have to earn their paycheck or earn their budget, they have to deliver. So essentially, you are kept outside versus sitting across the table and really working as a partner.
It's variable. I think that Chuck is dead on. The objective, the way to best serve the business or government objective is to be a partner, to be at the table. And so everything I do is geared towards achieving that and advancing that purpose. And it is, it's variable. With different agencies, I've got different relationships. Some are better than others. And it has to do with the experiences that people have had with IT in the past, and that shapes their view of how they should deal with IT and what IT's role is. And where it's necessary, I'm working to change that view. And where we have a cabinet member who understands, one in particular, because of significant business experience as a CEO of a major corporation, and that he understands that IT can be very strategic. And I've got a great relationship there, meeting with him later today again and working on some serious challenges that, we're at the table with his management team. So that's certainly the governor's perspective he wants me at the table to help him make some critical decisions, and I feel fortunate to have that opportunity. But it's something that varies. We've got to deal with a lot of different executives that all have different perspectives. So we're building that relationship, building that trust.
So, Doug, if you were to come in new to our organization where the trust essentially doesn't exist, you would not be a partner. So would you be a negotiator or a consultant?
Well, I think you'd start off as a consultant. But definitely, along with Chuck and Bill, I'll preach to the choir and say that you have to be a partner. You have to get to that trusted partner relationship. And the way to do so is really to live in the business and understand the business. The way we're organized, we have 14 business areas, and we typically will locate IT staff and management inside those business areas. So if you walked over to our 303 building down the street, you would see IT and business sitting side by side, which they live the business. And I think that's a great model that our management has set up. And, I believe that, nothing is going to commoditize your services quicker than expecting simply to be a negotiator and an order taker, a person who manages SLAs. I don't think that cuts it today.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back and talk about curious versus cautious. Usually there are two types of personalities, and they exist on both sides of the camp. That is in the IT camp as well as in the business camp. So how do we create a relationship where we have curious as well as cautious people, but with an end result in mind that we end up having a branded IT developed as much as possible for it to provide the competitive advantage that an organization is looking for? Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you.
Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Hello, this is Red Hat. The vast majority of cloud computing solutions being built today are using open source technologies. In fact, industry analysts tell us that 80% of early clouds are using open source as the key infrastructure. Most of these are being built by Red Hat customers. The benefit for end customers in the entire industry is a new level of openness and interoperability that only open source enables. We at Red Hat, along with our customers and the open source community, are proud to be leading the charge to this new model of computing.
Do you need directions to solid financial future? If so, the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with a roadmap to making smart money decisions in every area of your personal finances. Join Jordan every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 3 p.m. Eastern, for the Money Answers Show on the Voice America Business Channel. Learn how and where to get the best deals on mortgages, cars, and insurance. Find out the best ways to save for college and retirement. Get out of debt, improve your credit rating, and save on your taxes. The Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman will provide you with great tips on investment opportunities in real estate, stocks, annuities, and other investment vehicles. That's the Money Answers Show with Jordan Goodman on the Voice America Business Channel every Monday at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjoy Gall.
Welcome back. So, curious versus cautious. Bill, do you think the best way to get the most out of the IT and also be able to do the best in your role, would it be better off to be a curious versus a cautious IT leader? And what kind of personalities that you feel you're able to get most out of, the curious or the cautious?
There's no question in my mind. You've got to be curious. We've got, especially in state government, frankly, and this is a good testament, but I've got a lot of employees who are cautious, who recognize the value in doing what works because they know what happens when something doesn't work. But that's not, that's not the way forward. I said earlier that elections matter, and that means we've got to try some new things. So the key people around me are curious, and that's the way we will find innovation that will make positive change in IT and in the way the state provides government services. The caution will take care of itself.
So basically being curious also breeds risk, and which will keep coming your way, and then if it goes beyond a certain level, the cautious folks on the business side might raise an eyebrow.
They might, and that's good. Checks and balances are in business all over the place. We might as well have them between IT and business partners.
Now, Doug, in your world, do you think becoming curious is also synonymous to be a maverick IT leader?
Not sure about maverick, but I think curiosity. Again, I'll agree with Bill here. You have to be curious, and if your IT folks can't tell you what Twitter is, for example, I'd be a little worried. And it's interesting. I got an email just before the show, and it was a colleague at another company, and they said, "Hey, check out this customer service issue with this airline." And here's what the message says: It says, "I had a horrible Airline X experience this past weekend. I canceled my ticket and stranded me in Pittsburgh. I sent in a customer service complaint 4 days ago and received nothing. So I tweeted my experience this morning. Within 2 hours, they called and are trying to help. Behold the power of Twitter." And this was posted on their Facebook status. and here's a customer service experience, so frontline touch point with the customer occurring that this airline is apparently tracking. So, you know, this is the kind of curiosity that I think people have to have, and if IT can proactively bring that sort of thing to the business, it's a value add for everyone.
Chuck, what do you think?
I totally agree. I think for too long IT was viewed strictly as a cost center, and because of that became too risk adverse. And you've got to manage your risk, but you also have to be willing to take a chance on some things. And I think that equates with being curious as to how you can change or improve or adopt new things to bring value. So if you're not going to be curious, you should get out of this business.
Now, do you think in your world, especially, Chuck, when you are being curious and you go out and try to stretch the limits of curiosity, at some point somebody comes and says, there's a limit to what we will allow with respect to being curious and trying different things because risk is going to creep in, and again, you are asked to go back in that same cautious shell?
I think you're asked to go back and balance the two, and maybe if you get, there's always a point of view as to whether you've gone too far one way or the other. So I think you need to be able to accept that as criticism or suggestion, but you need to also be willing to push back and understand what those risks are and be able to communicate the issues to the business if it's the business that's pushing back. I see that even within the IT organization. Some of my developers are much more curious than my security people, and that creates a good tension.
So coming back to the solution that you can create or a solution for a business problem, that to an extent also looks like it's a mindset issue. So, Doug, in your world, whenever you are posed with an issue or a problem that has to be solved, what is that you use as a due diligence process to say a solution will work or I'll have to create a B solution?
Well, I think this is where you have to have the right organizational alignment in play. And I'd say there are a couple characteristics I would think about not necessarily for any given solution, but in general. I think you do need high skill levels. And in our situation, we try to have IT and HR leaders working together to make sure that the right skill sets are in place. Competent management. You really need managers that can help evangelize the right technical solution and know when to escalate and know when to listen to, say, an application developer. And I'm sure we've all seen a single bad technical decision at a first-level management level that could be catastrophic. Most importantly, though, the thing that I've always valued and it seems to be a rare trait, strangely enough, is excellent prioritization capabilities. You've got the pragmatism of having to deliver and productionalize applications, but at the same time, you can't just build everything hardwired. You can't do it because you're going to cripple the business at some point. So where that line is drawn is key to sound solution development, and that really gets to excellent prioritization skills and certainly competent management and high skill levels.
So what is the due diligence process, Chuck, that you follow, and what kind of crew involvement do you have at the right places for it to eventually help you make the right decision where how much of branded versus how much of generic is put in place?
A couple of things, Andrew. One is we have a business case methodology where we put together a business case for every major activity that we do. So that helps bring some discipline to looking at costs and value as well as prioritization. The other thing that I've done in the past is kind of use a rule of thumb looking at branded versus generic. At some point in time, if you take a generic product and you start modifying it to meet unique needs or perceived requirements of the business, you end up being more expensive than starting from scratch and building a branded solution. So whether that's 70-30 or 80-20 or some number in that range, you need to look at based on the technology. But if you really look at what you're trying to accomplish or what the business is trying to accomplish and equate that down into a business case analysis, it helps you drive to the right decision.
Now, with that being said, Bill, in your world, would you say that you have to jump through multiple hoops to finalize on what solution will work, and given there is a lot of mandate and compliance and everything else, you have to go through a predictable route versus taking that maverick route and creating that D solution which has to be tested like there is no tomorrow?
Well, absolutely. We've got very detailed laws concerning procurements and very competitive, public, transparent procurement processes that frankly, they challenge us to ensure that we're making the right choice because it is so open, and that's a good thing. And the fact that we have a limited opportunity at these new starts, that we have more emphasis on making sure that it's going to work. The environment that we have, since it's not that centralized yet, that it's very different from agency to agency, that adds another layer of complexity to make sure that a new solution will work for everyone. So we the highest common denominator among the 14 agencies tends to drive some of our decisions here as well. You know, what will work for each of the 14 agencies is a significant thing for us to achieve, and if it only works for 10, then we have to find another solution for four agencies, and it's going to cost us more money to do two than one. So we've got to keep those kinds of things in mind all the time to find the solution as opposed to an or a solution.
Now, with respect to the background of IT leader and maybe, you know, some of the crew, the first line of defense, that is your lieutenants, would you rather not have come from the business side, lived it, and then be able to create a truly branded solution, because then you would not be waiting truly for specifications from the business of what they want? You truly can understand and decipher and interpret in an intuitive fashion versus having to be told. So, Chuck, do you think that would have helped? And if you have not been blessed to come from that area, would you have a plan to get that knowledge be acquired in the right fashion for you to be better at branded IT development?
Short answer is yes. I think that it's a balance, Sancho. I think that there are some areas within IT that technical knowledge is the key to success and to being able to deliver the product appropriately. But some of my best managers / supervisors, particularly in the development side of the house, have come from the business. And I think that their knowledge of the business and what it really means to meet that business challenge is very valuable to them and to the IT organization. Where we don't have that firsthand knowledge, we bring business leaders into IT on a somewhat regular basis and let them talk to us about their business plans. Similar to Doug, we have people that spend a lot of time out in the business on operational activities, so they get the chance to learn the business.
Let's take a quick break, listeners. We'll be right back, and we will discuss this thing further, where how much of a business know-how or how much of a business type of pedigree that an IT leader could have for them to be better suited for building a branded IT. Please stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Whether the market's up or down, or if you're looking to improve your portfolio, our experts are ready to talk to you. Call now, toll free, 866-472-5790. That's 866-472-5790. Voice America Business Network.
Looking for flexible ways to scale your IT efforts? Then visit www.aval.com today. Aval helps companies find the global IT talent they need to align their IT and business objectives. Whether it's hiring top IT leadership talent or building a reliable technology team, Aval delivers. To find out how Aval can help your company, visit www.aval.com or call 1-800-947-2832. Aval, delivering global IT talent. That's www.aval, A-V-V-A-L, aval.com. Visit today.
Hello, this is Red Hat. The vast majority of cloud computing solutions being built today are using open source technologies. In fact, industry analysts tell us that 80% of early clouds are using open source as the key infrastructure. Most of these are being built by Red Hat customers. The benefit for end customers in the entire industry is a new level of openness and interoperability that only open source enables. We at Red Hat, along with our customers and the open source community, are proud to be leading the charge to this new model of computing.
Self-leadership is more important than corporate leadership. In the hustle and bustle world we live in, we need to be reminded that in all failures and successes, we are the common denominators. Each week, let Daniel Gutierrez help bring you the tools you need to manage self-leadership, resulting in self-success. Make your mark in your industry. Make sure you listen to Right Here, Right Now, every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. If you have a question or comment, call toll-free 1-866-472-5790. Now back to the show. Here's Sanjay Gall.
Welcome back. So, Bill, what do you think about the fact that your people with not having enough background in the agencies or the business side of it, how much does that help or prevent you from being able to come closer to the branded IT concept, which will create the most value?
Well, like Chuck, I'm very fortunate in that we have a lot of folks in our application development area that came over from the business or government side of the operation, that the folks that started out working in Department of Social Services and have a strong feeling about the mission of that agency to serve people who are less fortunate than they are. That mission's important. They understand how that agency works, and over time, many of them have come over and work on my side of the shop now, and that's very helpful. In the areas where we don't have that benefit, and where we bring somebody in who's new to government, perhaps, or new to a particular agency or area of the operation, that's a bigger challenge, and that's outreach. You got to get out there and build those relationships and learn about this. You've got to go to the, if you're assigned to the Department of Agriculture, you need to go to the Governor's Conference on Agriculture. You need to learn about these things, and we have to make that an effort.
So, Doug, what is your take on this, given that you are very close to technology? Do you think you yourself would have been more effective if you were coming from the business side?
Well, I think that, and I think Bill just really said it, it's incumbent upon you, regardless of whether you're a deep technologist or not, I think it's incumbent that leaders...
You're fading out a little bit, Doug.
Oh, sorry. Really engage with the business. And that may be things like going on sales calls with your business unit sales folks. But I think you really have to walk a mile in their shoes and really understand what their day-to-day challenges are, what their strategic challenges are, so that you can map technology solutions to those challenges.
Now, do you think that some things would come naturally to you, or some things come naturally to the business folks, which you are to be told in many cases for you to, be able to become more effective, so that you can take a hiatus from your IT role and just spend a little bit of time in business, actually running business, and come back, you'd be far more effective versus taking somebody along with you.
Well, I think in our case, we do have managers who rotate in and out with the business, and we think those are fantastic development opportunities for IT folks. We also have, in our organization, a great deal of tenure. There's a director who works in my organization who recently celebrated 20th year with the company, and he was upset, not upset, I mean, he said it jokingly, because I'm 100th just in IT in terms of tenure. And so there is that kind of tenure leads to deep understanding of the business. So we're, as Chuck and Bill both said, we're fortunate that we have a lot of folks who really, really understand the business, and they can bring new people up to speed pretty quickly.
Now, there is a word we call compromise, and we do make compromises in our regular lives and also in business sometimes, depending on what is more important at a given time. How much do we stick to our guns in order for us to eventually lead into a more branded IT? Because there would be situations where we will create an application, and while we are in the middle of it, the business environment changes, and tweaking your existing project would mean a total rewrite and or et cetera. So sometimes it is brought out in open. Other times we just go about building that application, which may not truly be 100% fit, and we think that we will tweak it later. But, of course, your core architecture is built towards doing something else. So are we kind of making conscious compromises, and that is what could be causing a more of a generic IT syndrome versus more branded? Bill?
Well, I think there are a lot of reasons for that. Compromise is only one of them. I mean, there are changes in our environment, that the General Assembly changes the laws on Medicaid reimbursement regularly. The federal government changes requirements for who's eligible, routinely. And as all these changes happen, we've got to tweak, and it does affect us, because often you don't see those changes coming. You know a change is coming because it happens every year, but we don't know what it's going to be. You've got to add to that a second factor, is that elections happen, and you'll have new leadership in the General Assembly on the Budget Committee that'll make decisions about what projects to fund and what projects not to fund going forward. You'll have new political leadership at the top that'll have different priorities perhaps than the prior administration, and that means that some projects that were formerly important no longer are priorities, and there are new priorities. So there are a lot of things that, in addition to compromise, that complicate this business from my seat. And then, the third factor is just, you may have seen it coming, but you ignored it and you didn't make the change. And as a result, we're programming in COBOL furiously right now. And, we've got to find a solution to this. And it's a result of, not pulling the plug on some projects, maybe when somebody should have recognized that we needed to go a different direction. So it doesn't have everything to do with compromise. Sometimes it's a generic or branded IT issue, but it's a very complicated set of factors of when do you change, when do you abandon. And frankly, that's a challenge for us, and I need some help there. So I'm interested to hear what Chuck and Doug have to say on this one.
So, Doug, what do you say?
Well, I think that's not specific to IT. If you read Ram Charan and A.G. Lafley's book, The Game Changers, you'll find it's a discipline missing from business in general in many functions, and that's the ability to pull the plug on failed initiatives. And if we're talking about agility, though, the ability to be more flexible, I would return to having the right skill sets in place and the right managers and the ability to prioritize. Anyone, again, can make a system work by hard wiring, but it takes some forethought and experience and architectural skills to build a platform that doesn't break when the business says, hey, I want to integrate it with the website.
Chuck, 30 seconds.
I agree with what's been said. I think it's sometimes it's easier to be flexible and compromise, and within the branded situation, you just need to have open and full disclosure and discussion with the business to understand where it makes sense to make a change and where it makes doesn't make sense to make a change and what the consequences are. And I also agree we have a real tough time turning anything off, and that's something that we have to get better at.
On behalf of the show and our listeners, I'd really like to thank you, Chuck, Bill, and Doug, for sharing your thoughts about the generic versus branded IT, which one works and what combination truly should exist in an organization for it to get the most value.
Well, thank you. It was a great experience. I enjoyed being on a panel with these great guys and appreciate your perspective, Sanjo.
Yeah, thanks very much.
Thank you again. Now, if we truly want to, or rather intend to align business with IT, then IT essentially should be working like or thinking like a business. That is, change as needed and perform to bring differentiation, the growth, as well as the profit. Now, given the times, yes, sometimes we are not given that luxury of being having a sandbox and some play money to do that. However, we could always strive to do so and see if we can limit the number of compromises we make. What do you think? Are you able to get more towards a branded IT versus staying with generic, which is not helping much? Please send your thoughts to views@ciotalkradio.com. That is views@ciotalkradio.com. Thank you again for listening to CIO Talk Radio. This is Sanjog All, your talk show host. Till next week, take care and God bless.
Thank you for tuning in to CIO Talk Radio. To learn more about the show, please visit www.ciotalkradio.com. Join Sanjog Gall next Wednesday at 9 a.m. Central, 7 a.m. Pacific for another hour of CIO Talk Radio.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.